There must be some way out of here, said the Joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief. Businessmen, they drink my wine, plowmen dig my earth. None of them along the line know what any of it is.
All right, we're back on the Investigative Journal, and I didn't want to leave without saying goodbye to Anthony Hilder. We had a little phone problem there in the last few minute segment. So, Anthony, we got a few minutes here. You're back, and I want you to, what's your final message to Americans now, the young and old, too? There's a lot of young people that weren't even born when you were making these videos. What's your message to them? What can we do in these final hours of America, so to speak?
Go ahead. It doesn't have to be final hours for America. The good can live, the bad must die. Let's take a look at some statements that are made by individuals around the country that are all put together in films like Loose Change. 100 million people around the world have heard it. And that was a kid, Dylan Avery and his buddies got together and put out this film. And
yeah, I know, I remember I met them in New York.
Yeah, I mean, they're doing it from their home on a little home computer, and it made it. That's the type of action that we need, because the president has said openly, and you know that, everybody who's listening to the show knows it, that the Constitution is just another goddamn piece of paper, Bush, quote-unquote. And his assistant, Henry Kissinger, said military men are dumb, stupid animals to be used as, well, to be used, essentially, as toilet paper for the New World Order. We've got that message. That message just has to get hold of somebody's head. And you turn them around. We have to get this message out. It's like a fellow who's up against the wall in a street fight. He's surrounded by 10 people. And he understands, well, you've got to hit them deep, wide, and consistently. We've got to come out of here. We've got to be fighting. We've got to be fighting.
You know, you mentioned one thing about the gun Second Amendment and the taking away of the arming of America. I'm going to have a guy on my show who just this is an incredible story. He used to be a gun dealer, and an honest gun dealer, licensed, everything in order. But he's done some research, and in the last 10 years, 10 years ago, there were 245,000 licensed gun owners in America. Presently, there's some 40,000. So there's a concerted effort to get rid of the gun salesmen in this country, as well as to take away the protection Americans may have against their own terrorists in the government. So that's a fact that needs to be brought out.
There's a fact that eluded me for many years. The monopolization of oil came about when Rockefeller came out and donated $4 million to the Christian Temperance League. And that was to go out and make illegal the growing of crops that are then in turn used, I shouldn't say growing them crops, but the alcohol, the moonshines. They wanted to say, they said, well, they didn't want people going out and drinking. What they were really trying to do is take alcohol away from the people as a use of for fuel. And they did that. That's why the Prohibition Act was passed.
Anthony, we ran out of time. We're going to have you on again. I want to thank you for all the work you've done over the years and for sharing this with our listeners. And you know what? Thanks again, and keep up the good work. We'll see you again. Okay, that was Anthony Hilder. We'll be back with my next guest, Larry Pellegrini, after this short message.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
Hi, Michelle. I haven't seen you on the bus for a while. Did they change your shift?
No, Lori. I finally quit my job. I'm working at home now, and I love it. No more commuting. And I'm home when the kids get out of school.
Working at home? Doing what?
It's a long story. It all started when I discovered the website earnmoneyathome123.com.
Oh, Michelle, you didn't fall for one of those internet deals, did you?
Well, I looked into several, and this one is for real.
Are you sure?
I didn't quit my job until I was sure, and now I'm making way more money working at home.
Really?
I've joined the success team in their major advertising co-op. Our business is fully automated, which gives me more money and the time to enjoy it. I'll be earning money while we're skiing this winter.
What was that website again?
EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Here, write it down.
Good idea. EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Maybe we can go skiing this winter, too.
EarnMoneyAtHome123.com is a global opportunity.
Americans who already realize our nation is in deep trouble need special edition hard copy literature to awaken the widest possible spectrum of people to the imminence of our nation's peril. The Artificially Sweetened Times informs people that the artificial sweetener aspartame is a hidden addiction killing people worldwide with a cluster of symptoms we now call Rumsfeld's disease. Find out who's responsible for unleashing this weapon of mass misery on the world and become part of the global movement to eliminate this neurotoxic drug from our food supply. The People's Income Tax Guide cites congressional records, Supreme Court decisions, and newspaper articles at the time to prove conclusively that wages were never intended to be taxed as income. A lot has happened in the world since 9/11. The report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 disproves the government's explanation of September 11 through a careful analysis of the evidence. The Artificially Sweetened Times, the People's Income Tax Report, and the report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 are priced for mass distribution. Sample copies are just $3. Call 208-255-2307 or go to idaho-observer.com.
Long time no see, short time for you and me. So fine.
Okay, we're back for a second hour on the investigative journey. My guest is Larry Pellegrini, originally from New Orleans, Louisiana. He was raised a Roman Catholic. At the age of 30, he began studying the Bible, and he found a lot of things that went against his belief system as a Catholic, and he says that he was brought up then in an anti-Christian church, and the Pope is really the Antichrist. Now, his message has been resonated by so many people in this country over the years, a message that is very difficult for many to swallow only because it's covered up so much. There's been so much propaganda, and let's just say it the way it is. Americans have been fed a bunch of bull when it comes to their history. Now, once you start piecing that history together, because you must remember, if you don't deal with what happened in the past, it's bound to repeat itself. And it takes a little bit of patience to go back into history and to piece together who really is the serpent in this story that we're talking about. We discussed prior in my prior hour with Anthony Hilder about the satanic cabal. But the real leaders of this are people you wouldn't suspect. And what I mean by that is that somehow, some way, there must be a connection made around the world. There must be somebody pulling the strings, someone controlling for a better, a higher purpose. Because, you know, if you look at man's history, money and power aren't enough. They're always looking for more. You as a person are looking spiritually to find something in your life. And so are these satanic cabal leaders. And so they do have to have spiritual counseling. My guest is going to tell you who he believes is the real are the real spiritual controllers of the New World Order, and how his message has been received in places like some 9/11 conferences and other places around the world. Larry, how are you today?
Oh, doing okay. How are you doing, Greg?
It's great. You know, I love bringing people like you on because you have a ministry trying to tell people that this is really a Vatican-led New World Order, and you're under the radar screen. We have researchers out there that are speaking out. You're one of these people that goes quietly on his way, handing out brochures, which I think is quite effective, and trying to alert people like one-on-one of what's really happening. Tell us your story, Larry, how you you grew up a Catholic first, and then how you found out something was going awry in Rome.
Yeah, we... excuse me. We grew up in New Orleans, and my wife and I had started studying. First, it started with me. I started researching in the Bible around 30, 31 years old. And as I continued on to study, we met with other people that informed us more about history and how the Bible is connected with history in such a way that it's the greatest history book in the world. Unfortunately, in our society, in the last 40, 50 years, 60 years in this country, people have really set aside Scripture. And you might have a couple of million people, per se, out of almost 300 million that really study Bible and study history and that really can pinpoint with accuracy what the symbols really mean in the books of Daniel and Revelation. And so my wife started out, and both of us started out, about 1983 of January, we left the southern part of our nation, started traveling through the country, and I was directed by the Lord to go to businesses of all kind, banks, office buildings of any kind, lenders and car dealers, wherever. And I would go canvassing in these places with the books, and at the same time, selling some books that I have on commentaries on the Bible, health, nutrition, diet, and history. I was able to meet up with some very important people, high and low society, poor people, rich people, whatever, that would lend me an ear for an hour or two, and we'd sit around and talk. It was really interesting to see how people have been waking up in the last 15 or 20 years. But for the last 40, 50 years, 60 years in this country, people have been setting the Bible aside for more of getting involved in society, in the social activities, you know, sports and music, the music industry and rock and roll and concerts and things of that nature and festivals. Excuse me, all these things came into play and are actually have a tremendous control on society that we live in today. So as I started studying into history and going back into the Protestant Reformation, I wanted to know more about these priests of Rome that lived between the 1300 through 1500 A.D. and started studying their lives. And up until this point, it's a continuous study. It's never-ending. History is like the bullseye. If you know your history, you know, you'll hit it every time. So we've been able to go to conference meetings. We go to gun shows. We're preparing to do two gun shows, one this weekend and one next weekend, one in Hickory, North Carolina, and one in Asheville.
Well, go ahead and tell us what you found out. I mean, let's try to hit the bullseye. How did you come to the conclusion that the Vatican was leading this charge of the New World Order? Not only now, but for hundreds of years.
Well, when I studied the book of Revelation, talking about this beast from the bottomless pit, it would make war against the Bible under the symbols of two olive trees, which is found in Zechariah chapter 4. But when you go into history and you look at the time of Wycliffe, John Wycliffe of England, he was a professor at Oxford University, around 1350, 1372, excuse me, he formed a little priesthood called the Lollas, and they transcribed the Bible in English. He gave England the first Latin Vulgate translation of the Bible around 1371, 1372. And so his little monks, these little priests, went out around the countryside and just handing out the Bible and, you know, scrolls. They didn't have the printing press at that time until Gutenberg printed for us and Thomas Martin Luther, around 1500. But he was the morning star of the Reformation. They, the nobles, the dukes, you know, and the queen really enjoyed his preaching on the Bible and what he was saying about Rome. And some of the first things he discovered about the Roman Church is that the Bible never set up a priestly order as far as controlling the establishment in the world called church and state. It all stays distinctly separated. And he started realizing that as far as confessing your sins, we go straight to the Lord Jesus Christ with that and not a priesthood, that Christ never set up a priesthood to go and get your sins annulled and forgiven by confessing your sins. And, you know, the confessional box is a tremendous tool that Rome uses to this very day to understand more about what's going on between nations and just heads of state. The confessional box was very powerful to this very day. That's some of the things he recognized. Also, he realized, recognized the Pope as the Antichrist, as the bishops, the cardinals are actually incarnation of the popes, like Benedict XVI. You know, when he wore the helmet, on the front of the helmet is the tiara is inscribed Vicarius Filii Dei. In Latin, Vicarius means replacement of, Filii means son, Dei means God, deity. And under the Roman numerical order, we follow that in Greek and Hebrew and Latin, comes out to be 666. Now, Revelation 13:18 says, "Here is wisdom, let him that had understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. So this man of sin, this man that would rule in church and state, would wear the number 666. And he discovered that, and he wasn't the only one. After Wycliffe passed off the scene of history in Bohemia, you had John Huss and Jerome, two Roman Catholic priests, and they came to the same conclusions. Of course, they read some of Wycliffe's writings, which helped them greatly. And they went on to translating the Bible. Also, both of those men were martyred for their faith. Huss, July 6, 1415, and then I think April 25 of 1416, Jerome followed in the same faith, giving his life for Christ and what he believed in his faith, as he became a martyr for Christ. But then, after Huss and Jerome, you have William Tyndale around 1495. He was actually fleeing from Henry VIII, and he went on to Germany to find refuge over there to actually print the Bible. Him and Luther were collaborating on doing this. They met for some time. I don't know how length of time they actually met, but they did come together with their ideas of translating the Bible. And of course, Luther did it in German, and Tyndale did it in English. And actually, from those manuscripts of the Hebrew and Greek, we actually got the 1611 King James Bible. You know, King James 1 actually allowed the Bible to be, to be brought out through England and Europe at that time. Go ahead.
Okay, and so that takes us through to Martin Luther. What do you see? There's a pattern back then. We're talking
right.
about people being killed by Rome for trying to spread the word of the Bible.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, you had the Albigenses, who were the French, and you had the Waldensians, who were the Italians.
All right, listen.
Excuse me, and actually...
If you could hold that thought, the music crept up on us. We're going to take a break, come back in 3 minutes with my guest, Larry Pellegrini, back after this message.
headaches. Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency, and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the task force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Inc. patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, here's the number to call, 702-953-0267. Or visit www.lasemedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasemedinc.com. That number to call again, 702-953-0267.
Back on the Investigative Journal, and my guest is Larry Pellegrini. And Larry, we left off around 1495 with William Tyndale of England.
Right.
And I wanted to bring us up to date to the Protestant Reformation and then the Jesuit order and how it applies today.
Okay.
Because let's make no mistake about it.
Right.
The Vatican and their evil has not changed for the last 2,000 years.
Yeah.
And we're living amongst the worst of times right now, seeing its ugly head rear because they're focused on this country. Go ahead.
Yes. Well, at the time of Luther, October 31st, 1517, he nailed his 95 thesis on the Wittenberg Catholic Church door. And his propositions that he wrote were devastating to Rome. I mean, I tell you, it really blew the thing wide open. And then around 1522, we had the Diet at Worms, and on to 1535, then we had the Protestant princes of Germany breaking loose from Rome. And, you know, then was born the Protestant Reformation. And Protestant word means Protestants, and that's what the true Protestant is, holding to the text of the Bible as it says in Scripture, not what the Church says. But right at the time of 1534-1536, Ignatius de Loyola, who was a Spanish Jew from Spain, and he actually was the one that founded the Jesuit order from 1534-1536. And in his quest for control. He was a warrior for Rome, was wounded in battle, and then he became really involved in visions and dreams. This man was really demonically controlled. But he came into power under Pope Paul III, and this was September 27, 1540. But after they were accepted, this order was accepted in the Roman Church between 1534 and 1540. Around 1540, between 1545 and 1563, you had the Council of Trent take place, where the Jesuits actually mapped out their ingenious plan of bringing about the evils in the world to actually create revolutions and wars, whereby they would work secretly and using propaganda and getting nations to go warring after each other to bring that country under the dominion and control of Rome again as it was in the Dark Ages for over 1,000 years. We got to remember that the secret and the power of the Catholic Church, it lies within the structure of the political scene and the heads of state. And they start off in a very low place. In America, in our country, we have many, many Jesuits in this nation, especially in Congress. And what they developed in the time of the Council of Trent, they developed a way to create secret societies where they would actually infiltrate Masonry, which Masons started around 900, 1000 AD, under the order of St. John. And when then you go on to 1100, 1200 AD, you got Knights Templars and Knights of Malta. And then the French Revolution in France, which they actually helped create that revolution and war, 1788 to 1798. This revolution brought about their ways of controlling France and then taking off from there with their New World Order, with their plan for New World Order. They actually would create three different world wars. Like the First World War would be to overthrow the power of the Tsars in Russia. And then the Second World War would be Great Britain and Germany and the Zionist states and Israel. And the Third World War would be Judaism and Islam. And actually now we have the Islamic religion going head-in-head with the Christian religion. And that's all planned out by the Jesuit order. And that's just how they do it. Have been creating revolutions and wars in this country. But back around 1580, actually 1570, 1575, well, we have Queen Elizabeth in England. They recognized as England, Ireland, and all these places were standing in their way. So they went up to Philip II of Spain, and created a fleet of ships called the Spanish Armada. This is around 1588. And we're going out there, 30,000 soldiers loaded upon these ships to go out there and just sink that little island and actually take it over and destroy Protestantism. Because after Bloody Mary was executed, Queen Elizabeth I actually brought England back to Protestantism. And this couldn't be. Rome wanted to regain all the power they lost from the time of Martin Luther and the Protestant Reformation.
You know what we're going to do? We got a minute here before this break, then we got a half hour. Yeah, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Okay. What we're going to do, we got a minute here. We're going to go into the break. I want to connect the dots to America and how the Jesuit influence here has gone undetected, but yet is so strong. And how they are basically, how we can explain to Americans that it really hasn't changed their thinking from the Council in Trent in the 1500s. We'll be back and we'll discuss those things with Larry Pellegrini. If you want to call us, 800-313-9443. Back after this short message.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. The because you can handle the truth.
Many Bible prophecies written thousands of years ago have been fulfilled in the past 100 years. Unknown by most people, even Bible-reading Christians, major end-time prophecies are being fulfilled today, including the one-world government, the one-world religion, the 10-nation confederacy of Daniel and Revelation, the mark of the beast, or 666. Speculation abounds about these ancient prophecies and what they might mean today. Now, one of the most foremost scholars on geopolitics, Dr. Michael Kaufman, who has stopped the ratification of international treaties in the U.S. Senate, has just released a DVD called World Events and Prophecy. His DVD explains how these and other major prophecies are being fulfilled today. Order your copy of World Events and Prophecy. It's only $20 plus shipping and handling at discerningtoday.org or call toll-free 877-271-7639. Don't be caught off guard. Order your copy of World Events and Prophecy at discerningtoday.org.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle, and today you're showing up in your new car and telling me you're buying a house? What did you do, rob Bill Gates?
No, John, I didn't rob Bill Gates. What I did do is visit the website www.didyourobbillgates.com. That's where I learned how to make $3,000 to $9,000 each and every week, starting with my very first week. It's a simple program that does all the work for you. I'm already up to $25,000 just going on my third week.
Whoa. What was that website again?
It's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Now write this down, John. You should go there and learn how this program can help you become financially independent, too.
Thanks, Bill.
I'm going there right now. Check, please.
You got this one, right, Bill?
Sure, John. Don't forget, it's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Next time, you'll be buying me lunch.
Deal.
Hi, this is John Statman, and I want to tell you about a new shortwave receiver that we're really excited about. It's the Kato KA1103, and let me tell you, this radio has features and performance of receivers costing 2 to 3 times the price. Features include dual conversion phase lock loop tuner for continuous coverage of the entire shortwave band, AM, FM, and medium bands, 268 memory presets, single sideband reception with fine tuning control, signal strength, meter, battery, power indicator, DX local select, tone select, auto backlight screen, extra long telescopic antenna, line out and external line in jacks, and many other features too long to list. And when you purchase a Kato KA1103, you just don't get a radio, you get an entire radio package, including an external antenna, stereo earbuds, and an AC adapter, rechargeable batteries, and a nice carry pouch. So if you've been considering buying a shortwave receiver or would like to upgrade from your present radio, the KA1103 at just $110 plus $9 shipping is an outstanding value. Call us at 800-724-2719. 800-724-2719.
John is in a basement mixing up the medicine. I'm on the pavement thinking about the government. The man in a trench coat batch out laid off says he's got a bad cough, wants to get it paid off. Took out a kid, it's something you did.
Investigative Journal, and my guest is Larry Pellegrini. Fascinating information regarding history, regarding the truth behind the Jesuit order and the Catholic and Rome. I don't even call them a church; they're a geopolitical organization with treaties with our country politically. So we need to first get that treaty, and that's difficult to do. We've called the State Department at least 10 times, and although we can get treaties with other countries, we can't seem to get that treaty with the Vatican. We will, though. And there's a gentleman in Alaska that's helping me do that, so we're going to try to do that. Another thing, there are 10 assistancies in this country of Jesuit order, and each one has a librarian. Now, the Jesuits are known, they like to tout themselves as the great educators of the world.
That's right.
I call them the great miseducators, and the greatness they stand for is hiding history, the great miseducators. Now, I've asked one or two assistant librarians to talk to me about the Council of Trent, to talk to me about things you're talking about, and they don't want to talk about it. I ask, and I know a lot. I know there's Jesuits that listen to the show. They monitor the show to see who's coming on, and I know that for a fact. And then they write down the names of everybody. So I'm asking them now: if any one of your assistants, librarians, want to come on this show and discuss these things with my guests, you're very welcome to do that. But they never want to. And they hide things. Is that what you found out about them modernly?
Sure. They're masters of disguise. I mean, here's a quotation right here from a book called The Great Controversy, written by Ellen G. White. This is an 1888-1911 edition under the title called The French Reformation. And could I read this quote here?
Sure, go ahead.
It says, throughout Christendom, Protestantism was menaced by formidable foes. The first triumphs of the Reformation passed, Rome summoned new forces, hoping to accomplish its destruction. At this time, the order of the Jesuits was created, the most cruel, unscrupulous, and powerful of all the champions of popery, cut off from earthly ties and human interests, dead to the claims of natural affection, reason, and conscience, wholly silenced. Listen to this. This is powerful. They knew no rule, no tie, but that of their order, and no duty but to extend its power. Now, I'm going to just stop right there for a second. Their aim and power is to give back to the Pope his power in the political realm where the church controls the state, and then the religious laws will be legislated. Okay? The gospel of Christ had enabled its appearance to meet danger and endure suffering, undismayed by cold, hunger, toil, and poverty, to uphold the banner of truth in the face of the rack, the dungeon, and the stake. Now, she's given an idea of what the Christians went through, but how she applies it to the Jesuits. To combat these forces, Jesuitism inspired its followers with a fanaticism that enabled them to endure like dangers and to oppose to the power of truth all the weapons of deception. There was no crime too great for them to commit, no deception too base for them to practice, no disguise too difficult for them to assume. Vowed to perpetual poverty and humility, it was their studied aim to secure wealth and power, to be devoted to the overthrow of Protestantism and the reestablishment of the papal supremacy. When appearing as members of their order, they wore a garb of sanctity, visiting prisons and hospitals, ministering to the sick and the poor, professing to have renounced the world, and bearing the sacred name of Jesus, who went about doing good. But under this blameless exterior, the most criminal and deadly purposes were often concealed. It was a fundamental principle of the order that the end justifies the means. By this, code, lying, theft, perjury, assassination were not only pardonable but commendable when they serve the interests of the church. And that's, I'll stop right there. That's a quote that goes a long way up until this day we live in right now. But the way the Jesuits would do it, this was under the bull that the Pope passed, Paul III. Okay, gave sanction to the Jesuit order in 1540. But the bull of Clement XIV, abolished the society July 21st, 1773. In other words, he tried to get rid of the Jesuit order because the nobles and princely orders and kingly powers of Europe realized that it was the Jesuits causing the wars between nations, and they were trying to abolish them. But that Pope was poisoned to death for that commitment that he had. The Bull of Pius VII, restoring it August 7, 1814. Now, this is when the Jesuit order came back into power. And when you go to the history on this book called The Suppressed Truth About the Assassination of Abraham Lincoln by Bert McCarty. It's a 1927 edition. The lady says here, the death of President Lincoln was the culmination of but one step in the attempt to carry out the secret treaty of Verona of October 1822. a pack entered into by the high contracting parties of the former Congress of Vienna, Austria, which had held its session secret, conveying the whole year of 1814 through 1815. And this goes on down here. It says the Congress of Vienna was a black conspiracy against popular governments, at which the high contracting parties announced at its close that they had formed a holy alliance. This was a cloak under which they masked to deceive the people. And it goes on and talks about how it was ratified, and how the Jesuits would take over from there, coming back into power between 1814 and 1815, and then by October of 1822, it was in full swing. And this is what's going on.
Yeah, and we'll get right back. I just want to say this right now. It just came to mind.
Okay.
We're always looking for answers on how to defeat the New World Order. And I want to say this right now. This is a war. If you look at how much influence they have in this country and what they are doing with the assassinations all over the world, the infiltrations of churches and religions all over the world, and this network through Freemasonry that we've documented.
Right.
This is a war between the Jesuit hierarchy and people like you and me. And others.
That's right.
And let's make it clear that I am not afraid of them. I know you're not. And
praise
we're
God
not afraid
that.
To doubt them for what they are, because just because they wear a black habit, you know, they wear the cloak of supposed church,
right,
doesn't mean
right.
they're not guilty of crimes against humanity. And let's just make it very clear what's really going on here. And then there's others in the background who don't want to get involved. And that is going to be the big mistake of America. If we don't out them for what they did, and even going back to what they did to Lincoln, no one wants to deal with it.
Actually,
what's going on from your point of view?
Actually, Greg, if you go back in history, in this book by Bert McCarty, I would encourage people to get this book. It's powerful. They are responsible. The assassinations of the Jesuit order, I'm looking at the pictures of the presidents. William Henry Harrison, he was done in by the poison cup, April 4, 1841. Also, Zachary Taylor, July 5, 1850. The next one, President James Garfield. Okay, you're looking at him, the leaden bullet. They killed him with the leaden bullet, July 2, 1881. President William McKinley, the leaden bullet, September 6, 1901. And if you notice, from 1901 to 1913, you got the next president in line there, bringing in the Federal Reserve System, which is an unconstitutional thing. The Federal Reserve is not American. Excuse me, it's anti-American. But the Jesuits would have a currency that they would create, a printing press where they could print money, calling it money, not really being money, for certain reasons to fulfill the order of the Jesuit order for the Vatican, and have to create a system where they could have money to promote and fund their wars. I mean, they could crank up the printing press and have the money they need to go fight whatever war they want to bring the nobles and kingly powers of that nation under their control. And that's what they've been doing here through the Federal Reserve System since 1912, 1913. And you have a long gap between President McKinley and November 22, 1963, when John Kennedy gets killed. So you're looking at many, many years of different presidents coming in there, actually papal puppets being controlled by Rome, every one of them, really.
Right, and that includes Truman.
Truman, all of them.
Roosevelt.
Every one of them.
Right.
And for President
Roosevelt.
What's
also interesting, I've had people on my show talk about the Titanic and the real story. No one really knows this, but the captain of the Titanic was of the Jesuit order. And it's not a coincidence that many of the people who opposed the Federal Reserve were on that.
Floating palace, yeah. It's a terrible thing. Three of the big money people at that time. Strauss was on there, I forgot the other two names. There was three fellas that were very powerful in the money system, and they needed to get them out of the way because they were standing in the way of promoting this thing in the Federal Reserve System. And then you have John Kennedy combating against Rome, unbelievably a Catholic, who his family is members of the Knights of Columbus, by the way. I don't know if you knew that, but the Kennedy family is immensely connected with secret societies. And I shared this with Brother Charlene and other people that, you know, John Daniels and other people that exposed this thing, and Bill Hughes and others, that, you know, how could Kennedy go against the secret societies and promoting the idea of separation of church and state? He actually wanted to get rid of the Federal Reserve System and the CIA, which was unbelievable, and that cost him his life.
And so basically he is, you know, many other researchers have come on and say we live under Rome canon law, and
absolutely.
He was considered a heretic, and that justified his murder.
That's right.
And many other people are considered that. For example, most people don't realize this, but Rome frowns upon American Catholics because they consider them too liberal and have no qualms about wiping them away. I don't think people realize that. So if you think you're hiding behind, you know, being protected by these people at the lower levels, who's ever working for them, they're going to do you in just like they'll do in anybody else. So get with it and get on the right side is what I say.
Well, the Jesuits created the idea of the left and the right. You know, in other words, in other words, to give the public the idea, naive, gullible people like us, which we're not anymore, right? Amen. But it would give the idea to the general public, the Goyim people or the cattle or useless eaters, as they call us, the stupid people that don't understand the insiders and actually what's going on behind the scenes. And they would create the left and the right, which we call the Republicans and Democrats today, which they both control both sides of the aisle. But it's to give the stupid people the idea that, you know, we have this freedom of choice. You know, I can choose a Republican or I can choose a Democrat. Actually, they control both sides. And they run on the tickets. They run on their platforms of, you know, like Social Security or the economy or some kind of devious thing that they created in society. And that's the tickets they run on to get their people in high positions. And so it has been. Especially since, you know, when they got John Kennedy out of the way, I mean, it looks like a candy apple dripping with honey.
Yeah, they seem to feel invincible at this point. But I don't agree. I think that the more the people realize what's going on, the more they'll realize where they really, you know, I've asked myself this question. I've asked Nancy Pelosi, let's go on. I could name 10 more Democrats. I've asked even the most liberal of Democrats through this radio show to come on and speak about this issue. None of them will, of course, because that's their death warrant. They will no longer be part of the system, and that includes the most liberal of the so-called bunch we have up there now that are fostering these views. Mm-hmm. And just by them not wanting to comment, shows to me. I mean, they're intelligent people. They could follow the path that you followed and research this stuff and logically conclude that the people they work for are evil, but they don't, because I believe they're being paid and they get good paychecks to keep their mouth shut. What do you think?
I think that the money is not really the big thing. I think they're just fearful of losing their life because they know how devious. They know how devious and sinister, the Jesuit order is. Here's a quote, Greg. It's called Washington in the Lap of Rome. It was written in 1888 by Justin D. Fulton, a doctor of divinity. He says, "The actual ruler of this nation lives not in the White House at Washington, but in the Palace of Baltimore. No important editorial affecting the Romanist Church is printed until it has been submitted to the Cardinal for his criticism. We wonder at the power exercised. No member of Congress enters Washington, but he is weighed in the Romanish balances. If he comes down with the shekels, the money for the church, and with votes for her policy, all is well. If not, there is a reckoning time to come, and an influence is exerted at once that touches the springs of power in its faraway home. That would be the Vatican. As a political machine, Rome is a transcendent success. And the Jesuit was more than half right when he said, quote, the representative of the Pope in the Vatican is the ruler of the United States of America. So their aim is for absolute rule. They already, you know, Tony Blair and all these people, high-ranking Masons, Rome has got complete control of just about every country. And they're doing it through the Masons. And the Masons are actually the face card or mask they put on in society of doing so many good things for us, you know. But behind the scenes, it is so devious and evil what's going on. So through the revolutions and wars, you know, they would bring about the New World Order. They would create the system of wars and revolutions through thesis, antithesis, and then the synthesis would be the New World Order.
All right, listen, we're going to take this short break, come back for our final segment with Larry Pellegrini, back after this short pause.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency, and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See headachestaygone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the task force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Inc. patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, here's the number to call, 702-953-0267. Or visit www.lasemedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasemedinc.com. That number to call again, 702-953-0267.
We're back for our final segment with Larry Pellegrini. And Larry, I tell my listeners, look deeply at the leaders that you, the leaders you've created and who has created them. Look deeply at the institutions that they come from and look deeply at really what's happening in your country. It goes far beyond just George H. Bush and his criminal cabal. And until we can get to the bottom of this organization and call it for what it is, we are doomed in this country. We have no hope because they can just replace Bush with another one, and it goes on and on and on. The good people must stand forward and demand, and I say this, demand that they come forward and discuss this and repent what they've done.
That's right. Well, you know, as we understand the scriptures, in Revelation 17, it brings out about the 10 horns, which are 10 kings. In Revelation 17:13, it says, "These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast." And that beast is that same beastly power from Revelation 13, which is the papacy. The first 10 verses is the history of the papacy. You're looking at approximately from 538 to 1798, the time that Bruthier, the general Napoleon, takes the Pope captured. Incredibly, when the Pope actually tried to ban the Jesuits in 1773, it was payback, and they came back at them through the Mason Order, and Napoleon himself, being a high-ranking Mason, brought the Pope into exile. He was set free later on, but he didn't until he put the Jesuits back into power again. And so the story goes this on and on and on. But the French Revolution, I would encourage everybody to study that, because the French Revolution is the kickoff point for Rome and bringing about their ideas of bringing about a one-world system using revolutions and wars by doing that. In America, they've been trying to get blacks and whites to go at each other. They have race riots, which they succeeded to a degree back in the 60s. But their scope here is to get such a chaotic society take place where they could have a frontal assault and send the troops out on the street. Then we're under martial law, and then we're under all executive orders. And that's what they're actually aiming for in this country. It doesn't matter, like you said a little while ago, you know, what man you vote for. Just like John Kerry, he's skull and bones. Bush family, skull and bones. It doesn't really matter. They have them all lined up, ready to sit in the Oval Office and take control. But I appreciate what you're doing on the program you have in exposing these things, because one of the horrifying things that conspirators, people that are involved in this conspiracy, the Jesuit Order, the Catholic Church, and the secret societies, they really hate the idea of being exposed. This is one thing they really, really is bothersome to them. So I appreciate, I appreciate people like you to get out there and go on the radio and to go through the newspapers. We print articles in newspapers. We hand out books, literature, videos, DVDs. People email us, write to us, and we give out many, many things for free, especially Shaw. He's really pretty much big time doing a lot of mail outs. We do some.
Do you have a website where people can get a hold of you?
I don't have a website, but they can email me at religiousliberty2002@yahoo.com.
And okay. Go ahead. We only got 20 seconds.
Okay, they can call us at 828-738-3953. That's my home phone.
Okay, Larry, listen, we're all out of time. We'll have you on again. We needed more time. Thank you.
That's okay.
Okay. Yeah, and, we're all out of time. We'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place. Until then, good afternoon. Can we?